Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello there and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Coming up in a few moments. Benedict XVI, his words for Corpus Domini. French composer Olivier Messiaen for the fifth Mystery of Light. Pius XII and the first radio message in English for an international Eucharistic Congress. And our Latinists' passionate efforts to get the universal language of the Catholic Church back on track. Well, thanks for joining me. As you'll have understood from the headlines, the broadcast you're about to hear focuses in a special way on our devotion to the Eucharist, which, as we know, is at the centre of the Christian experience, providing us with spiritual energy and a plan for living our everyday lives. As Pope Benedict himself explained in Italian on the first Corpus Domini of his pontificate, it was May the 26th, 2005.
Nella festa del Corpus Domini, la Chiesa rivive il mistero del Giovedì Santo alla luce della risurrezione.
But if your Italian happens to be non-existent, don't despair, as we're about to read some extracts of his words translated into English.
On the feast of Corpus Domini, the Church relives the mystery of Holy Thursday in the light of the resurrection. There's also a Eucharistic procession. Holy Thursday, when the Church repeats the exodus of Jesus from the upper room to the Mount of Olives.
Now, before we continue hearing Pope Benedict's voice, let's step back in time and space for a moment to Israel, where the night of the Passover was celebrated in the home within the intimacy of the family. This is how the first Passover in Egypt was commemorated, the night in which the blood of the Paschal Lamb, sprinkled on the crossbeam and doorposts of the houses, served as protection against the destroyer. On that night, Jesus goes out and hands himself over to the betrayer, the destroyer, and in so doing overcomes the night, overcomes the darkness of evil. Only in this way is the gift of the Eucharist instituted in the upper room fulfilled. Jesus truly gives his body and his blood, crossing over the threshold of death. He becomes living bread, true manna, endless nourishment for eternity. The flesh becomes the bread of life.
Diventa pane di vita.
In the Holy Thursday procession, the Church accompanies Jesus to the Mount of Olives. It's the authentic desire of the Church, in prayer, to keep watch with Jesus, not to abandon him in the night of the world, on the night of betrayal, on the night of the indifference of many people. On the Feast of Corpus Domini, we again go on this procession, but in the joy of the resurrection, the Lord is risen and leads us. The Holy Thursday procession accompanies Jesus, who is in his solitude, towards the Via Crucis. The Corpus Domini procession responds instead in a symbolic way to the mandate of the Risen One. I go before you to Galilee. Go to the extreme ends of the world. Take the gospel to the world.
Andate fino ai confini del mondo.
Of course, by faith, the Eucharist is an intimate mystery.
L'Eucaristia, per la fede, è un mistero di intimità.
The Lord instituted the sacrament in the upper room, surrounded by his new family, by the 12 apostles. The prefiguration and anticipation of the Church of all times. Nevertheless, from this intimacy that is a most personal gift of the Lord, the strength of the sacrament of the Eucharist goes above and beyond the walls of our churches.
La forza del sacramento dell'Eucaristia va oltre le mura delle nostre chiese.
We bring Christ, present under the sign of bread, onto the streets of our city. We entrust these streets, these homes, our daily life to his goodness. May our streets be streets of Jesus.
Le nostre strade siano strade di Gesù.
May our houses be homes for him and with him. May our life of every day be penetrated by his presence.
La nostra vita di ogni giorno sia penetrata dalla sua presenza.
And while our thanks there go to Sean Patrick Lovett for reading these extracts in English of Pope Benedict XVI's words on the Eucharist, originally pronounced in Italian, as you've just heard, we now turn to Monsignor Philip Whitmore for a musical comment on the fifth of the Mysteries of Light, the Mysteries of the Rosary the late Pope John Paul II added to the traditional 15 when he published his encyclical letter Rosarium Virginis Mariae, back in 2002. A Mystery of the Fifth which focuses on the Eucharist.
While they were at supper, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. This musical account of the institution of the Eucharist comes from J.S. Bach's setting of the Passion according to St. Matthew, written in 1729 for the Good Friday liturgy at St. Thomas's Church in Leipzig. Bach had the inspired idea of giving Jesus a kind of musical halo all through the St. Matthew Passion. Whenever Jesus speaks, he's accompanied by the strings. Listen to his next words. He took the cup and blessed it, gave it to them and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. These words of Jesus, so familiar to us from the Mass, are the heart of the mystery we're reflecting upon today, the institution of the Eucharist, the last of the mysteries of light. As we pray this mystery, we might choose to reflect upon the famous painting of the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci, showing Christ at table with the 12 apostles. We might choose to ponder some of the Eucharistic hymns attributed to St. Thomas Aquinas, such as the Adoro Te Devote or the Tantum Ergo Sacramentum. Or we might want to listen to some of the great wealth of Eucharistic music written in honour of the Blessed Sacrament. Of the many Eucharistic texts that have been set to music, one of the finest is surely the O Sacrum Convivium. In just a few words, it manages to express a great wealth of Eucharistic theology. It comes from the liturgy of the Feast of Corpus Christi. In fact, it's the Magnificat antiphon for Second Vespers. O sacred banquet in which we partake of Christ, his sufferings are remembered, our minds are filled with his grace, and we receive a pledge of the glory that is to be ours. Setting by Thomas Tallis is one of the glories of English 16th century music. But now I'd like to play you a much more recent setting as a contrast. It's by Olivier Messiaen, and it's one of the very few pieces of liturgical choral music that he wrote. For those of you who know some music theory, I should mention that it's in F sharp major, a most unusual key with six sharps in the key signature. Already that gives us a clue that he's aiming to evoke a mysterious atmosphere, taking us out of the familiar into a world of infinite peace and light as we contemplate Christ present in the Eucharist. Slow, meditative beginning as we ponder the great mystery of the Eucharistic banquet, the bread of angels on which our souls can feed, the music gradually builds up in intensity, reaching a climax on the words, Et future gloriae nobis pinius datur. A pledge of future glory is given to us. As we move towards the end of the piece, the mystical, meditative atmosphere of the opening returns. It's as if we're in the presence of Christ, who has given himself to us in the Eucharist and enabled us to share eternal life with him. The music seems to fade away into the distance. Time stops. We are left to commune with our Blessed Lord in peace, in tranquility, in everlasting joy. Sacrum.
Time to leave these musical notes focusing on the Eucharist by thanking Monsignor Philip Whitmore, who's currently working at the Vatican's Secretariat of State, for so generously sharing with us his musical expertise. And moving on in the broadcast, we take a look at International Eucharistic Congresses, the first of which, by the way, took place in June 1881 in France during the pontificate of Leo XIII. Congresses, which, when our radio station was founded in the earlier 20th century, were kept track of by our very own sound engineers. So stay tuned for a couple of these exclusive recordings. But please allow for the audio quality of the first of them. The date was, after all, 1937, early days of radio. That rather crackly sound was the voice of the founder of our radio station, Pope Pius XI, speaking in Latin, the universal language of the Catholic Church. It's a rare recording, first broadcast through a microphone installed by our sound engineers of the time in the Holy Father's study in the heart of the Vatican's Apostolic Palace. It was a momentous moment, marking as it did the first time a Roman pontiff was to send a message through the airwaves on the occasion of a Eucharistic Congress taking place in a distant nation like the Philippines. It was the 7th of February 1937. Only 3 years later, the man to succeed Pius XI to the See of Peter sat in exactly the same place, speaking through another Vatican radio microphone to an even more distant land, New Zealand. But this time the sound of the radio message was loud and clear.
We rejoice that you are celebrating the first century of the Catholic Church in New Zealand with a Eucharistic Congress.
He was Pope Pius XII, and while he used the old-fashioned royal we, he spoke in what seemed an unusually modern language for the church of the time, English.
That his peace may descend upon your common life and mercifully protect you from the horrors of the war.
The echoey voice of the Roman pontiff was slightly shaky as he mentioned the word war. The date of this radio message was, after all, the 1st of February 1940, 1 year into what would go down in history as a Second World War. But it was a fleeting moment of sadness. His words were, most of all, an invitation to draw from the fountains of grace in the Eucharistic ministry, in a world full of the beauty of creation.
And the glacial splendour of your mountain peaks, the beauty of your coast, and the loveliness of your forests all join together with us in singing the praise of God.
Clearly, Pope Pius XII had wished to take part in celebrations marking the centenary of New Zealand's evangelization.
Since the day when the Venerable Bishop Pompalier of the Young Marist Society, which in the future was to deserve so well of you, landed with his companions on the banks of the Okianga.
What better way to take part in these celebrations in the days when popes did not travel than through the microphones of Vatican Radio? An occasion that deserved a special blessing, as expected, in Latin.
Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maniat semper. Amen.
But while this broadcast may have ended with Pius XII's blessing, as we've just heard, it also had a final sign-off by an English presenter on the payroll of Vatican Radio, well over half a century ago.
This is the Vatican Radio Station calling. You have just heard the message which His Holiness Pope Pius XII has addressed from his study to the faithful gathered in Wellington for the National Eucharistic Congress of New Zealand. That brings us to the end of this transmission. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
Well, that doesn't bring us to the end of this transmission. So finally, to end this broadcast, a total makeover as we join our popular Latin lover. His passionate commitment to all things Latin, his scholarly expertise, and ability to draw an ancient language from memory, making it leap off the page, punctuating it at times with a cohort of chuckles. However, as we know, the official language of the Catholic Church is Latin, no? So the hymns we sing in church are all originally sung in Latin. For example, all the prayers like Pater Noster, the Magnificat, the Ave Maria, they've all been put to music. Have you got any favourites, favourite versions of these?
I was listening just this morning, an organ that with different variations of Schubert's Ave Maria, heaven's sakes alive.
Of the Ave Maria?
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Okay.
So people should know the words of that.
Well, yes.
Hail Mary, full of grace, etc.
They shouldn't know that much. Of course, nowadays, I don't know. But I was listening because I bought some organ music. The students gave me a gift of, and I bought all kinds of CDs with organ music. And there, of course, Schubert is there. And Gounod's Ave Maria. It's another one. It just make you cry. It's so beautiful.
The Gounod one?
Yeah.
Why does it make you cry?
I mean, the music is so beautiful. So, and the sentiments are so beautiful. You just don't know what to do. Nacius quid agas, you don't know what to do. Nacius quid agas.
Sentimental.
Well, yes, but I mean human.
Sentiments. Is that a Latin word?
Well, sentio sentire is to feel in Latin. So sensus are feelings, your senses, and sentimental are things that belong to your feelings. And but, that's what it's all about.
I know you're reading a book. It's a biography, is it, of Bach?
Yes.
Is that right?
Christian Wolff's biography. I read about 10 pages a day.
And you told me that he
came up again today. He and his brothers, they all graduated from Lutheran Latin schools. And they were all cultured and they were all educated in Lutheran Latin school. All of them. You know, about there are about 100 boxes, you know. But he and his brothers and so forth and so on, they all became organists and choir directors and composers and everything else. But they would always talk about their training in Latin school.
Getting back to the Catholic world.
That's good. Here at Vatican Radio would be good too. Go on.
Getting back to the Catholic world. When I was a child, there were always sung masses on solemn occasions and Missa Cantata. What do you remember of Missa Cantata? Is that special?
Well, of course, in those days, of course, you had your choirs, you know. Every church had its own choir, and so the Missa Cantata was done by the choir. what Vatican II did, and I think very wisely, you know, was to get the people involved, you know, in singing. And so the fancy solemn masses sung by the choirs have kind of gone out. And now you have little booklets, and everyone in church is supposed to sing, which is a good idea. That's all right.
I just want to say this is a good idea in Latin.
Optimum concilium.
So Vatican II, concilium, Vaticanum.
Yeah, concilium and concilium are two different words. A council and a council. Got it? You know?
So.
No, it was a good idea.
Vatican II was a good idea.
Oh, that was not why that was.
So how do you say that? Vatican II was a good
idea? Optimum concilium fuit, optimum concilium.
And can I add, by getting rid of Latin?
Well, Vatican didn't get rid of Latin in any way. The fact is, if you look at the document on the liturgy, you know, Sacrosanctum Concilium, they say the Latin language is the official liturgical language of the Roman Catholic Church. It's sitting there. What history did with Latin is another story. And even there, the training of the priests, you know, optatam totius, and so forth and so on, they say Latin is absolutely essential for the training of the priest. What happened historically, you know, is another story. So Latin was just thrown out historically, but not officially.
So how'd you say that in Latin? Latin was thrown out historically? I'm going to tease you here.
Historica rerum progressione eiectus est sermo latinus. Okay, I can say that. Sed non auctoritate ecclesiae, not by the authority of the church. The church never did away with Latin. It just happened that way, got it? So you say no government ever came away and did away with horse and buggies, but just horse and buggies just kind of disappeared.
How do you say that in Latin? No government.
Nullum regimen umquam prohibuit, equos et caros, said evanuerunt, but they just disappeared.
They vanished, evanuerunt.
Yeah, evanesco, certainly. This is all Latin. The whole thing's Latin, I'm telling you.
A huge thank you there to our popular Latin lover. He's Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, and he's currently working in the Vatican as the Pope's own Latinist. And that brings us up to time. I do hope you enjoyed this broadcast. If you did, please let me know. Our email address is english@vatiradio.va. Or if you wish to drop me a line, the address is The English Programme, Vatican Radio, Vatican City. Be sure to check out our website. The address is www.vaticanradio.org/English. Bye for now, and don't forget that we'll be back again at the same time tomorrow.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.